What does it take to be a successful mother? What would it take to be a successful mother?
What do you want?
No, no, he knows which side that bread needs to be buttered on, don't he? Well, let me multiply it a little bit worse. We live in some pretty difficult times, but just say you only had a very short time to make an impact on your child. Now, that would make it even tougher. I mean, at least we get 18 years or so, give or take. Some would like to give more than others, but, however they say when they get teenagers, it's probably too late. If you hadn't made an impact on them, you might not. But how do you make an impact on them, say, in 3 years? We're going to talk about that. See, a little bit about Samuel's mother, Hannah. All right, let's read. We're going to start in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. And please forgive me as I mispronounce some of these Old Testament names. First Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. Now, by the way, as we're reading through, if you catch something you think that might make a difference in her life, make sure you underline that or mark it on your bulletin or something so you can come back to it later when we talk about it. But I want you to be looking for what kind of woman Hannah was. Look at the situation and look what happened. Now there was a certain man of Ramathan-Zoam of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jerem, the son of Eliu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuth, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. We already got a problem. We'll come back to that one. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah. The name of the other, Peniah. Peniah had children, but Hannah had no children. Another problem. We'll talk about that in a minute. This man went up from the city yearly to worship and sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peniah, his wife, and to her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her sorely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. And so it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah rose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting in the seat of by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head." And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke at her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, "How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you." But Hannah answered and said, "No, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful heart or sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of an abundance of my complaints and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked him. And she said, Let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to the house of Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked for him from the Lord. Now the man Elkanah and all of his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, Not until the child is weaned, then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word. And the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up and with her and three bulls and one ephah of flour, a skin of wine, and brought them to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore I have also lent him to the Lord as well as he lives. He shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there. Wow. Did you catch any characteristics so far? Did you see anything in Hannah that impressed you? Now, first of all, there's some serious things going on. There's two wives. Ladies, how would you like that? I'm not going to ask you guys how you'd like that. Why did Elkanah have two wives? Did you hear what he said? Because one couldn't have kids. If you notice, Hannah's name's mentioned first. He was the first wife. You notice that probably he married her because of love. He loved Hannah. And no matter that she couldn't have kids or not, and by the way, their culture was he could have put her away. She couldn't have children. It was very important in their culture to have children. He had the option of putting her away, divorcing her, putting her away. He didn't do that. He loved her. And even though she couldn't have children, he still loved her. Gave her a double portion. I have an idea that's why he had to remarry. It was a custom, and I don't know if this had been Hannah's servant, but it was the custom that a wife give her servant girl to her husband so that they could have kids through her. Does that sound like a familiar story? Sarah and Abraham. Of course, that wasn't God's will, just because it was a custom, all right? But that may have been what took place. We don't know. It doesn't mention that. But undoubtedly, he remarried another woman so that he could have children and carry on his family name, all right? Doesn't mean he married for love. In fact, it never says that anywhere in there. He took care of them. He was very good to them, made sure that they had plenty, made sure the kids all had plenty. But Hannah he loved. And you know that created a problem. You notice the second wife who had the kids gave the first wife a hard time. Did you catch that in there? Just made her life miserable. I got to be honest with you, if she'd have come and got in my face, I might have smacked it. Guys, you know that there's more police officers get killed every year in domestic disputes? You know, I'd hate to have to be a police officer and go into a house where they're fighting, okay? So it can be a battlefield at home sometimes, and I have an idea that's what's going on. I don't know if Elk and I knew it was happening, but he did come to her and say, "Honey, ain't I better than 10 sons?" Thank you, Miss Debbie. So what does she do? Now, by the way, I want you to notice something. I was hoping you'd pick up on it the very first thing. You're going to notice that Hannah is a woman of devotion. Her family was devoted to God. They did not miss a time going to where God told them to. Actually, they had to do it 3 times a year. It was required that they go to the tent, the tabernacle, and meet with the Lord. They had to travel. So I have an idea they did it more than once a year. They probably did it at least 3 times a year. And I'm going to tell you the importance of that in a few minutes. But they were a very devout family, and they made their sacrifices for the Lord. They didn't miss a time. So she was a woman of devotion. She believed in God. She loved God. I believe that with all my heart. When she realized how difficult it was to be that wife that didn't have any kids, the other woman giving a hard time. And by the way, guys, you know it was her heart's desire to have a child. So what did she do with the problem she had? She took it to the Lord. That's another pretty good thing. She was a woman of prayer. Now, if you're going to raise kids today, you've got to be women of prayer, okay? You really do. You need to stay in contact with God and seek God. And she did. When she had a problem that was overwhelming, one that she couldn't do anything about, you notice it said she was barren. The Lord had made her barren. Did you catch that? She went to the Lord. She was fasting. She wasn't eating. Now, whether she was fasting for religious reasons because she was praying or whether she was sick over what that woman was doing to her, I don't know. But she didn't eat. And she was praying. Now, undoubtedly, it was the custom that they pray out loud. Did you notice when Eli came and saw her, she was praying, her lips was moving, there was no sounds coming out. He thought, that woman's drunk. Even accused her. How long are you going to stay at the wine? She said, no, I have not been drinking wine or strong drink. You know, she says, my heart is broken. I'm in turmoil. Guys, you know what opens the channel of blessings from the Lord? Prayer. Unfortunately, in our lives as Christians, that's sometimes the last thing we do. We'll try everything under the sun in our own power and strength to try to fix something. And then when that doesn't work, we go, well, I'll try prayer. When really and truly we ought to start with prayer. Amen. Prayer opens up the channel of blessing. Did you notice that something changed in her attitude? Look at verse 18. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way, ate, and her face was no longer sad. What changed?
Well, Eli said, let your request be before God, let it be granted. And she believed the promise.
Okay.
She believed that God would grant her request.
I believe she'd been praying for this for a long time. I don't think this was the very first time that she did it. She had just really got to the point where she was just bearing her soul before God. And when the priest heard it, came in, because he probably didn't get talked to by a priest before that. They probably didn't even notice her before that. All of a sudden, God draws Eli's attention on her. And he says to the Lord, Lord, please grant this woman's request, her prayer. And she was a woman of faith. Now, she made quite an agreement with God, didn't she? Ladies, how many of you could go to God and say, now, God, if you'll give me a child, I'll turn around and give him right back to you? If you grant me to have a son, I'll bring him back to you, and he'll be yours forever. Now, by the way, she also made a pledge, a Nazarite pledge. Now, by the way, don't get that mixed up with Nazarene. Jesus was a Nazarene because that's where his family came from. A Nazarite is totally something different. It is a rite that they had, and in that, a person was dedicated to the Lord for a certain amount of time. Usually it was a blocked off amount of time, maybe for 2 years, maybe for a year, maybe 6 months. But usually there was an amount of time. It wasn't a whole lifetime. And during that time, they could not cut their hair. No razor or anything could come to their hair. They just had to keep letting it grow. Also, they couldn't drink anything from the vine. Wine, grape juice, wine skin, raisins, any of those things that came from grapes, they could not touch that whole time. Don't ask me why. That's just one of those things, one of those agreements. She made that agreement with God. Not only will I give him back to you, but he'll be a Nazarite. Well, the Lord granted her prayer. Had the baby. And it was time to go back up for the yearly sacrifice to the Lord. And she said to her husband, I'm not going to go this year. I'm going to keep the child home until I have weaned him, and then I will take him. Now, that usually went from about 2 years to 3 years to wean a child. So probably, if I know Hannah, she probably waited to 3 years. I have an idea she didn't go on the second year. She probably waited to the third year. That she had 3 years to make an impact on his life. 3 years. And you know the first year would be a little hard to make an impact on it. When they're, you know, up to the 1 year old, it's a little hard to start making an impact because they're just learning to be a little person. Figuring out there's lights and things around them and colors. And so they're just learning to use their hands a little bit and their feet a little bit. So the first year probably was a bust as far as laying the foundation. But she had the second and the third year to do what she could do in that shorter time that would make a difference in his life. Did you see any other characteristics as you were looking in there? She was truthful. All right. What do you mean by that? She was a woman of her word. You know, sometimes we make deals with God. I know you've never done that. When I knew that I had been called to preach, I like to chew and dip. And I knew I was going to have to go to Bible college. And I was going to have to give that up. It looks really bad from the pulpit, preaching and spitting. Unless you came from the community my dad came from. Right, James? The old church. James was raised just a little ways around from where my dad was, homestead was. And the old original church had spittoons cut in the floor. Because not only did the guys chew, ladies, the ladies dipped their snuff. A few years ago, me and my pastor friend was going over to one of his members in a nursing home, and when we got there, she was a little bit messy. She had chocolate running down her face, and my buddy gets something and cleans her up, and I said, Jim, that ain't chocolate. She had snuff juice running down her face. Oh, come on. It happened. But anyhow, when you're trying to give up something, sometimes you'll make deals with God. God, if you'll do this, I won't do it no more. Been a lot of foxhole religion happen that way in a war. Lord, if you'll just get me home, I promise to serve you. You know, one of those kind of things. We make promises to God sometimes, and many of those times we don't necessarily keep it. When Hannah made a promise, she followed through with it. And I'm going to tell you, it was a difficult promise. Because all these years she'd probably been praying for this child, and God granted her that child, she's going to turn right around and give it back to the Lord. Now, by the way, that's where we get baby dedication from. Did you know that? We don't christen babies, we dedicate babies. And we look at these verses, and I use these verses, by the way, because I think every child is a gift from God. And that it's our responsibility to give that child back to the Lord. Now, you don't have to bring him to church and leave him. I prefer you take him home, okay? Just saying. Yes. But what you're doing when you dedicate that baby, you're saying, Lord, I know that you've blessed me with this gift, and I'm giving this gift back to you to use however you see fit in their life. And I know it's my job as a parent to lay the foundation, try my best to live out an example before them, so when it comes time for them to make a decision, I can't make it for them, but I can lay the foundation for them to make a decision for you. That's what baby dedication is all about. And she did it literally, though. She dedicated that baby right back to the Lord. I like the term lent. Did you notice that? I've lent him to the Lord forever. That's a long time to lend one out, isn't it? Well, did you notice anything else about her? We got now that she was a woman of devotion, a woman of prayer, a woman that keeps her word, a woman of faith. Did you see anything else there? Okay? And if you go on, in fact, to the next chapter, she prays. Now, they call it a song, but she prays, and the Lord, she's worshiping God. She was a woman of worship. Now, guys, I begin to see a characteristic in this lady. I mean, she was a woman of faith, a woman of prayer, a woman of devotion, a woman of worship. And by the way, there were some other things. Not only did she have 3 years to make a difference, but she went back to visit him every year when they went back to make the sacrifice. So she had some hours every year that she could spend with him. And every time she went back, she brought him a coat. If you read it correctly, it's not just one coat. Every year she brought him one. She was a mother of love. She loved that child. She didn't just say, God, I'm glad you give him to me. I'm giving him back and forget about him. I bet she prayed for him every day. The great thing about Samuel, that was her son. Samuel went on to be one of the greatest leaders Israel had. And a very unusual leader. At the time that Samuel came along, they didn't have kings yet. In fact, they had judges that would lead them. And when Samuel stepped into this position, he became a judge of Israel. But not only did he become a judge of Israel, he was a priest of Israel. Now, I don't know about you, but I was noticing he didn't come from a priestly family. Did you catch that? It said a lot about the Ephraimites, not the Levites. God had appointed. Remember, he was a priest because he was making sacrifices. In fact, when Saul became king and Samuel was late, what did Saul do? He made a sacrifice, and God got very angry at him for making a sacrifice. So even though Samuel wasn't from the priestly tribe, he was a priest. There's something else in those first couple of chapters. It said he was a prophet. Who else do you know became a leader of Israel and the world? Was a priest and a prophet. Jesus. Samuel's a picture of Christ. Now, by the way, when he first got to the temple, he didn't know God. He didn't know him in a personal way. It doesn't mean he didn't know about him, but he didn't know him personally. And it was neat because he was sleeping somewhere close to the temple. They had little places for them to sleep. And Eli, the high priest, wasn't too far from him. And one night he was sleeping, just sawing the Z's, and all of a sudden he heard his name. Samuel. And so Samuel gets out of bed, goes to Eli's room, and he goes, what do you want? He said, what do you mean, what do I want? I didn't call you. So he sent him back to his room. Goes back to his room, lays down, goes back to sleep. All of a sudden, he hears a voice again. Samuel. So he gets out of his room, goes back to Eli's room, and said, what do you want? He said, I didn't call you. Finally, Eli catches on. They didn't hear a word from God very often back in those days because of the ungodliness that was going on in Israel. Eli's sons were really taking care of the priesthood, and Eli's sons were not godly. You know, the priests get a certain amount of the food that comes in because they don't have their own crops, they don't have their own land. Their inheritance is being worshipers of God and taking care of the tabernacle and all that. So they get their sustenance from sacrifices that come in. But they don't always get the choicest pieces. But when people bring a sacrifice in, they take up a big old three-prong hook bigger than what Curtis uses on an alligator and throw it in a bowl and pull out the biggest part for themselves. They were not men of God. And people hated to go make a sacrifice. Can you imagine having to come to church and you got somebody ripping you off every time you come? You know, like one of those television events? No, never mind. Touch that television and I'll hear you. Never mind. That's how they were. You know, you'd hate to go make that sacrifice. That tells you something about Hannah and her family. With all that corruption, they still came and worshiped God. Did you see any other characteristics about her life? Did you catch anything else? Let me go through them for a minute. A woman of righteousness and merciful, because she gave her what she deserved. Now, guys, this story is pretty neat, but it goes on. After she gave that child back to the Lord, guess what God did?
He blessed her.
He gave her sons and daughters. She became that mother she wanted to be all that time. Because she was faithful, trusted God, a woman of faith. That little bit that she had, she made sure that she tried to give it back to Samuel in the short time that she had him. That love, that faithfulness, that devotion, everything that she could put in his life, she poured into his life. And by the way, I think she was a woman of prayer where she spent her knees on prayer. How many of you are here because your mom prayed for you? Guys, I'm glad moms pray, aren't you? Because a lot of us wouldn't be here if they didn't. I'm glad for moms who are there. You know, dads are not always able to be there. I was fortunate in my lifetime, I got to see the best of both worlds. When I was first just a kid growing up in grade school, my mom was a stay-at-home mom. She was able to take the time to help me pass. When I got in high school or junior high, she went to school and started her career, and she became a work mom, and my dad would get home before her, and my dad started cooking supper. That was a real change in my household, and my dad became a great cook, by the way, through all of that. But, you know, I got to see the best of both worlds, but today we live in a time financially it's hard for moms to stay at home, almost impossible for that to happen, to make a living. They've got to go out and work and do everything, and they're not able to spend as many hours with the kids that they need to spend with them. Sometimes our kids even have to raise themselves, unfortunately, in the time that we live in. So when you have time, you need to take that time and spend it wisely with your kids. There's some things that come out in her life as I was thinking about it that kind of touched me. Did you notice she was barren? Have you ever come a time in your life when you feel like what you're doing is just not counting for anything? Maybe you're working at something and it just doesn't seem to be going anywhere. It just seems like she was barren. She couldn't have the child that she really wanted. You can't do the things that you really want to do, even though you're working at it and trying at it. It's just not happening. There are times in our lives we have those times of being barren. What do?
Thank you.
We have to always put the Lord there, no matter what. You've got to keep the Lord there. There's going to be times in our life when they're not going to be productive. Maybe because of something we've done, maybe just because of the circumstances and the times. And it's easy to just throw up your hands and want to quit. I could just imagine that Hannah, it crossed her mind a couple of times to want to walk away from that relationship. Right after she smacked the other wife. I just have an idea those thoughts crossed. It may have went out really fast, but they were there. I think all of us sometimes come to the place where, Lord, I just want to quit. And it's sometimes easier to quit than to go on. But guys, God's faithful. Amen. Don't matter what the circumstances are, doesn't know what the situation is, God's faithful, and God doesn't leave us. We got to learn to trust Him. And just as she did, she was still devoted. She still had time in prayer and worship. She was a woman of her word. When she made her word, it was bond. She kept it. And she trusted that God would meet her need. I love the change where she realized, God's heard my prayer. I believe He's going to take care of it. And she walked away without feeling that burden anymore. God can do that. Guys, you got to realize prayer is that thing that opens up the channel of blessing. Don't make it the last thing you do. Start praying right now. Seek God. God answers. And no matter what, make sure you're dedicated to the Lord. Life is really short. You ever notice that? Getting shorter every day. I can't believe my dad's 90 years old. It was just a few years ago I did my grandfather's funeral. He was 99. Now I'm 57. I thought my dad was dead and gone at 57. Time is rushing by fast. We don't always have as much time to do things as we'd like to. This is the times that we live in, I feel like we're in a rat race. This weekend, and I used to have the breaks in between the weekends, but now it's all week long. But guys, we got to take every opportunity that we have, whether it's a few minutes, a few hours, maybe 3 years. Do the best that we can to make an impact on our kids and as a church, on the kids that God's entrusted us with that come here. Can we make as much impact as their parents can? Probably not. But God can. Amen. And God can change a life in just a short time. Now, by the way, unfortunately, Samuel learned his parenting skills from Eli. And when his sons came along, guess what? They were just as bad as Eli's sons were. Because that was his role model at the time he was there. So make sure, even if you got a bad role model in front of you, you don't have to do what the role model does in front of you. You don't have to do the bad things, in other words. Guys, our lives are not dependent on our circumstances. I know the psychologists say that your environment dictates what you're going to be. There's a Greek word for that. God can change it. Amen. God can change it. The best thing I can tell you is to get out the plan, the blueprint. Because I'll take you down the wrong road sometimes, but this won't. And the Lord can make all the difference. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for godly moms. Sometimes they're in difficult situations. Hannah was not in the ideal situation. She couldn't have children, and she dearly wanted to have them. There was another wife involved who had children and gave her a hard time because she didn't, to make her life miserable. Everything was just stacked up against her. And yet she was a woman of faith. She sought you, Lord, in prayer. She poured out her heart before you about her need. And it opened up a channel of blessing in her life. She was a woman of her word. She made a promise to give that son back to you, Lord, and she did it. And you blessed his life in a wonderful way. I bet Hannah was a proud mother when she mentioned her son's name, Samuel, because he went on to be a judge of Israel, a prophet of Israel, and a priest of Israel, a man of God. And he wasn't just a figurehead, Lord. His life was one of devotion to you. Lord, she didn't stop after the 3 years of weaning. She'd come back every year, check up on him, spend time with him. Then, Lord, you turned around and blessed her and opened up her womb, and she had sons and daughters because of her faith, her devotion, her worship, her prayer life. A woman of her word. Lord, I just pray that as parents and grandparents, you'll help us develop those things in our lives so that we can make a difference with our kids. And Lord, as a church, may we make a difference with the children you entrust us with. Lord, children's camp is coming up this weekend. We'll have about 2 days. Lord, I pray that you would open up the hearts and minds of those young ones. As, Lord, we lay the foundation of the Word of God, as we share with them those who can understand the way that they can come to know you as Lord and Savior, and the way to walk with you every day. Lord, I pray that you'd prepare their lives. I pray that you'd prepare the lives of the teachers and instructors. That, Lord, we would show them love. We'd show them faith. We'd show them the things that Hannah showed her son. Lord, just a moment, the altar's open. Maybe some need to come and just thank you, Lord, for giving them a great mom. Maybe there's some moms that need to come up and say, Lord, I haven't been the mom I need to be, or the woman that I need to be. Maybe there's some dads that need to come up to the front and say, Lord, I haven't been the dad that I need to be in my family either. May we realize how important prayer is. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.